Welcome to the ESP Media Studios in Kenwood, just north of downtown Cincinnati, for an edition, The Angry Quarterbacks. Yes, we're back. We're the two angry guys. I'm Tom Gamble. He's Richard Skinner. And we have a legitimate quarterback. He would be Tony Pike, played at Reading. The UC got the old, going with the old school Bearcat
hat.
Good
looking
hat.
Throwback today.
It is. Yes, and played in the NFL. We'll get to the NFL at some point.
Quarterback play is garbage these days.
We address a lot of different football topics. We do it by start with the high school this week. That's our first segment.
All right.
I'm joined by a head coach of the St. Xavier Bombers, a defending Division I state champs, and current number one ranked Division I team in Greater Cincinnati, and in my opinion, should be in the state, but they didn't ask me, so we'll forge ahead one Steve Speck. Steve, how are we doing today?
Hey, Tom, I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Doing just fine, and enjoyed your performance by the Bombers on Friday night. I know that was the GCL South opener, a 30-7 victory over Moeller. And, Steve, you've got to really be impressed and pleased with the way your defense has pretty much played all year.
Yeah, I am. We're growing up. At the beginning of the year, we were really excited about our front six. We had a lot of returning starters from that group. But we were concerned with our back end. We had to replace all five starters. So we've seen the secondary grow up. I thought last week was going to be a good test, as explosive as Moeller is on the perimeter with all their skilled weapons. And I really feel like those kids are growing up, but a lot of that's been attributed to the front six and how hard they're playing up front.
I know there's always comparisons made. I know back in 2007, you guys had a perfect season, won a state championship that year. I know people, you're off to a 5-0 start, first time since then, largely because your schedule's brutal. But I hear some comparisons from some folks from St. X about this year's defense compared to that year. I know we're going back a decade. Do you see any similarities?
Oh, no. Yeah, it's so unfair to compare. In my opinion, I think it's incredibly unfair to compare any season. Boy, back in 07, we had a two-time Super Bowl champion and Greg Scruggs lining up at left defensive end. And, Luke Kuechly, the defensive player of the year, was stacked behind him. It's so unfair to compare guys like that over the years because you don't know how kids develop and how they grow. I like this group. I like the senior leadership. I like how hard they work. They care. They trust one another. I'm worried about going 1-0 this week. The past is the past. I want to focus on the here and now, and that's what I want the kids to focus on as well.
Well, let me ask you one thing about the here and now is Chase Wolf, your senior quarterback, who every time I've seen him this year seems to make big plays. It started with that late fourth quarter rally and ultimate victory in overtime at Colerain. This kid is real. I know he threw his first interception of the year against Moeller, but, boy, he seems to really be playing well.
Yeah, Chase is incredibly special talent. Chase has no memory. I think is the best way to put it. The interception he threw against Moeller, he erased that from his memory right away, and he moved on to the next play. And players from good players is the kids that focus on the next snap and get better. And boy, Chase is just a very talented young man. He's got incredible football smarts. He's got great talent. He sees things before anybody else does. Wayne Gretzky had a quote a while back that I really found interesting. He said that when he was on the ice, he felt like everybody else was in slow motion. And sometimes I look at the things Chase does and the decisions he makes, and I'm wondering if he sees other guys in slow motion as well, because his ability to make the right play is just uncanny. And he's doing a great job. But Tom, the thing I love about Chase is he's going to be the first one to deflect praise onto his offensive line, the guys that are working their tails off up front, deflect praise to the running game, deflect praise to the receivers and how well they're playing. That's just the kind of kid he is. It's a testament to how he was raised with Steve and Jeannie. It's a testament to what he wants to become. He's just a very special, special player.
Steve Specht, head football coach of St. Xavier High School, my guest. The Bombers undefeated, 5-0, winners of 11 straight games dating back to last year. And, of course, so, Steve, you come off the win against Moeller. You watch Elder on Saturday lose by just two at home to Cleveland St. Ignatius, and now you got to get ready for the Panthers. They come in at 3-2, but this is a very talented Elder team.
Well, not only are they a very talented team, they're a very dangerous team. When you go, you battle on the road. You have to drive to Cleveland and play a tremendously talented St. Ed's team. And then the next week you follow up with the best team in Cleveland and Cleveland St. Ignatius, and you watch how Elder battled. You know, they're angry now. They're frustrated. They want to get that victory. And, boy, are they talented offensively. I think Coach Ramsey does just a great job with that offense. They're multiple. They give you a lot of different looks. They have a lot of different receivers they like to throw to. The passing game is very complex. And they bring back a young man by the name of Jack Mazu, who I think is a tremendous running back. He's been injured the past couple of years, but he's a really talented young man. We're excited about seeing how we can do against that. But Elder poses a lot of problems for you from an offensive standpoint. And we're excited about the game. We're glad we're at home. Obviously, we're a leg up right now in the GCL South, having been the only team right now with a victory. But they don't come easy in the GCL South, Tom. You know that. I think it's as good as any conference in the country, top to bottom. I'm proud to be a part of it. I'm proud to represent St. X in it. But this Friday night's going to be a heck of a battle.
Yeah, and I guess when you look at it, you do have the remaining two GCL South games, back-to-back Elder this Friday and then LaSalle the following week at home, which is a good thing. Steve, knowing you the way that I do, I know you're a perfectionist. People around you would say the same thing. I know you always talk about, you know, we've got to get better and we are getting better. But what do you know about this team from that postseason run last year? You really seem like you like this group and the way they approach things. Does any of what's going on currently this season come out of what they were able to do against adverse conditions during that postseason last year?
Well, that's a great question, Tom. And, yeah, I do. I believe that you're a product of your environment. And I believe that this year's senior class, they withstood public ridicule when we were getting beat up early in the season. They withstood the adversity of all the injuries. You know, they battled. They're battle-tested. And that's the thing I loved last year. I thought our senior class really did a great job of leading. But, boy, that junior class did a great job of following and watching that senior class and really developing their own identity. And what I've seen this year is that senior leadership play itself out. I see something different in this group. There's no quit in them. They understand that, you know, bad things happen to good people. It's going to happen at times, but it's how you respond to it. It's not a cliche with these guys. They know that it's not lip service. And I think that's if last year taught kids anything, it's that everything we preach, everything we talk about, follow the blueprint, keep your nose to the grindstone, embrace the grind. You know, it's not lip service, because they saw what happens when you deal with adversity in a positive way and move forward. And boy, have they shown the young kids on our team how to battle day in and out, how to prepare day in and day out, how to keep a focus. And if you listen to Chase Wolf's comments after the game last Friday night, you know, he talked about this is great. We're excited about the win, but that was the opportunity to go 1-0 last week. Now we're on to the next week, and they're always focused. And as a coach, boy, not only do you appreciate that young men, but, you know, you respect it, because they really are growing up. That's what you want to, you know, when you talk about young boys becoming men, this is the step for them to realize that every day is a new challenge, that every day is a new opportunity. And these guys, they not only do they get it, but they revel in it. And that's, as a coach, you can't ask for anything more from a young person.
Well, one final question for you, Steve. You mentioned a coach. How about as a parent? Of course, you had the opportunity to coach Hayden, your oldest son, who's now playing at the University of Albany, doing well, I understand. And now Cameron, your second son, is a senior. He obviously was part of the state championship team last year. He's a playmaker on offense and a return guy, a receiver, et cetera. So what is it like? I mean, how much fun has that been? I'm sure it's fun sometimes, maybe not so much fun at others, but you're not only a coach to these guys, but in the case of Hayden and now Cameron, you're also their dad. How much fun has that been, and How emotional is it this year knowing that this is his senior year?
Oh, wow. I think I'm the luckiest. I'm the luckiest man alive. I've had the opportunity to coach my oldest son and now my youngest son. I've spent more time with them than most fathers. You know, my gosh, I'm with them all the time. From the time we get to school until he goes to bed at night, we spend time on the field. We enjoy a passion together. And I hope every father gets to experience sharing a passion with his son, because you can't put words to it. It's going to be hard this year when we play our final game, when we celebrate the end of the season together. I don't mince words. It's going to be very difficult on me, because it'll be I'll know a phase of my life is ending. You know, let's face it, Tom, we're getting closer to the end than we are to the than we were to the beginning. We're getting close to the end of this. But I try to revel in the ride. The journey is the thing. And, boy, I've had a great journey with my boys. I've been very blessed. You know, God's given me a special place here. And I'm just very thankful for the opportunities that I've had. And it is a special, special deal. And God love him. I hope he keeps playing the way he has been.
Well, and I was going to say, that journey might go on for a while if your team continues playing the way that you guys have. So, Steve, best of luck against Elder this Friday, and we'll catch up with you as the season goes on.
All right, Tom, I appreciate your time, buddy.
All right, Steve Speck, head coach of the St. Xavier Bombers.
So let's get right to it. Segment number one is on high school football. And big Friday night last weekend, and you did the color for the game. I was there as well. It was Moeller hosting St. Xavier, sold out Rutger Stadium in Lachlan, and Moeller with a lot of momentum.
They did.
Coming into that game, it
took a 7-0 lead.
Right, 3-1 start, 7-0 lead.
And kabam.
And St. Xavier, which is, they're just the best team in Cincinnati.
Yeah, I mean, they won a state championship last year with smoke and mirrors. I mean, you know, you got in barely.
Right.
Had a lot of things go your way at different times. I mean, all those comeback wins. This team's legit, though. Yeah. I mean, they can throw it. I'll tell you, you've seen him, obviously, Tony. He honestly, and I don't say
he
this,
being Chase Wolf.
Chase Wolf. Yeah. I don't say this because Steve Wolf is a friend. I watching him play, he might be one of the better high school quarterbacks from an accuracy standpoint that I've maybe ever seen. He puts throws maybe that he maybe in theory shouldn't make into small windows. It makes me, if you're projecting a guy and you watch those small window throws he makes, granted the windows keep getting tighter, obviously, you know that the more you, but he can make those throws.
Yeah, so he's so good because his feet are so fine-tuned and everything he does. I mean, he gets the ball out. If it's three steps and get it out, it's three steps and the ball's coming out.
Yep.
Not just on that third step, but quicker than anyone else around him.
But he's athletic enough to extend.
Exactly. Athletic enough to move around. And then he carries himself, not like a cockiness, but
no,
with a moxie. That,
absolutely.
You know, he's going to make the plays when need be, either with his feet or with his arm. And you know, you saw it at the Colerain game this year for sure. And obviously you saw it, you know, against Moeller Friday night. But he's a guy – When you build around a team like that, and then you get the running game going.
Yeah, which they didn't have
defense,
last year.
Yeah, it's a scary team for sure.
It is.
Well, especially with their defense. I mean, their front seven is, you know, some people have said that this team, they're off to the first 5-0 start since 2007 when they went undefeated and won a state championship. Some say this front seven, Basevich, Jefferson,
Giles,
and others, is as good as the one back in 2000. Their defense is really good. And the worst part of Friday night was seeing Miles McBride, the quarterback for Moeller, get injured, and it doesn't – you know,
well,
he's going to be lost for the rest of the football season and maybe even his basketball season.
Yeah, initially, because they actually carried him off the field, and he had his leg bent. I didn't see the ankle. I was assuming knee.
It turned out to be ankle.
Yes. We actually interviewed his dad Wayne Box Miller interviewed his dad at halftime.
Yeah.
Walt, he said, we're going to go have x-rays tomorrow, hope for the best. By the time the game was ended, we started to get some reports that it probably wasn't good. I guess the fortunate part is it's not a knee. It will heal.
Yeah.
Problem is he's going to, it sounds like, miss a good chunk, if not all, of basketball season as well.
What I mean, for Moeller,
just a bad beat all the way around.
Worst thing is, especially a kid who's obviously a scholarship player in basketball who opted to play football.
Right.
And you know, we encourage that kind of stuff when you have a chance to. But, you know, this is a kid who had 16 touchdown passes and just two interceptions in the first four games. I mean, coming into that, and when he went out, I mean, obviously, St. X, I think, still the better team, but nonetheless, offensively. So now Moeller, you know, and how about the rest of their schedule? So now they're going to have a backup quarterback. They host LaSalle. Then they still have remaining
Elder,
Cleveland, St. Ignatius, number one ranked team in the state.
Winton Woods
undefeated, and just beat LaSalle and Lakewood St. Edward. Yeah. I mean, that is brutal.
Good luck.
They ain't got Deer Park and Taylor and Finneytown left, Chief.
No.
I don't know if you'll find a more difficult schedule in the state the last half of the season.
Absolutely not.
You don't think? I know you ain't going to find a tougher schedule.
Well, speaking of that, Elder, what a great effort on Saturday. Narrowly missed knocking off that number one team, Cleveland St. Ignatius. And people need to remember, St. I was a number one D1 team for most of last year, made it to the state final, and went into double overtime with St. X.
Killed St. X
late
in the regular season.
Correct.
But, man, the kicker they had.
Sheesh. 50. Three field goals, including one in excess of 50 yards.
Crazy.
Yeah. He also punted. But you got to give Elder credit. I mean, Elder, you know, they had a legitimate chance after really getting it kind of handed to them at St. Edward the previous week against Cleveland St. Ignatius. They hung in there until the very end.
Now, have you seen Winton Woods play?
I have not.
Ooh, they're good.
Big win for them over LaSalle, 18-15. The goofy part for them, they're always hard to read because they're not in a league.
Yep.
They play kind of a mishmash schedule. They did open the season with, like, see if I get this right, beating Northmont, right?
That is correct.
35-36.
Yes, that's correct.
They played kind of a weird schedule. But I think Friday night when you see that they do beat LaSalle, that kind of opens your eyes a little
bit. I just think historically they're one of those teams that there's one way or another they stumble against a team that they should beat.
Right.
And I think when you get a win over LaSalle, who, coming off their win streak, one of the best defenses in high school football that you've seen, that just does nothing but propel you forward with confidence. Now it's, can you take that confidence and use it to continue to motivate yourself and not, you know, get get on the high horse and say, okay, well, we're good now. We can do whatever we want.
Because it still comes down in the playoffs, you will probably have to beat them again.
Right.
Anderson's off to a great start. It's hard to gauge them, and this is no knock, because I think they are really, really good. But their schedule hasn't exactly been overwhelming to this point.
Correct.
I think what Winton Woods does, though, is it opens the door for an Anderson, for Winton Woods themselves to go, all right, look, somebody can beat LaSalle in Division II because we did it.
Well, and Winton Woods, I mean, they got a chance to win the GCL.
Right, that's a
good
point.
If you think about it,
absolutely.
I mean, and Andre Parker's done a nice job there. They're competitive every year, some years really good like this year. So you mentioned that. So Joe Idle, the top five. So the OHSAA weekly computer ratings, you were right.
You were wrong.
I'll admit, I was wrong. I thought it was after week five, but it is week five.
Correct.
So it comes out around noon today. We're doing this on Tuesday morning.
The second edition.
It will be. So Joe Idle, who's right on, he's usually spot on. Here's the top five in D1 Region 4, top eight make the playoffs. St. X is one, Sycamore two, big game on Thursday hosting Fairfield. Milford is at three. We'll get to that. Moeller four and Fairfield five. But how about Tom Grippa, Milford, off to a 4-1 start. And looking at the remainder of their games, with the exception of Anderson, you could argue Milford.
Run the table.
Yeah. I mean, it's and how they finished 2-8 a year ago. This is his first season. And I don't think people still know what to make of Milford. I've talked to some people in the league, and you know, but all I know is they're 4-1.
I got to see them when they did a passing scrimmage against St. X, and I went over to watch it. And they didn't have the numbers, obviously, like St. X, but they were holding their own offensively. I mean, what they're doing
was
in their
system.
Was it
11-11 or 7-7?
7-7.
Yeah.
So I don't know what they have up front, but skill-wise, they were keeping up.
What skewed it was when they lost to Fairmont, they lost 42-0.
Right.
So, I mean, I think that's one of those where you said, okay, they got off to a good start, and, you know, big opener.
Here we
go.
They
wanted Oak Hills. But game on Thursday night.
Yeah, I'm doing the game.
At Sycamore Stadium, Fairfield against Sycamore. That's you know, that's almost one of those.
Well, remember, Fairfield got off the 0-2 start.
They did.
And I think we even talked about they still would have a good chance to make some noise in the regular season, get a good playoff.
Yeah.
If you win that game,
correct,
you might put yourself in position to host, to go from 0-2 to hosting a playoff game.
Well, I would still tell you, Sycamore, Mason, which won again,
and
Fairfield, and Colerain, obviously, which is up to number 8. The GMC, despite that slow start, got a chance to get 4 in.
Correct.
It's my pleasure to welcome in head coach of the Colerain Cardinals, my alma mater, I must add, one Tom Bolden. Good morning, Coach Bolden. How are we doing today?
Tom, how are you, buddy? You sell yourself short. You're considered one of the most esteemed graduates of Colerain High School.
And that will get me exactly what? The ability to talk to you like this?
That's about it, I think, in our world, brother.
So let me ask you, Tommy, an uncharacteristic start for Colerain. I don't even know how long it's been since the Cards got off to an 0-2 start. But this is not your normal 0-2. I mean, you go to LaSalle in the Skyline Chili Crosstown Showdown, lose a defensive struggle 7-3.
then come home and in a horrifying conditions on a Friday night, have a 14-0 lead, wind up losing to St. Xavier 20-17. Take you back to that night. Take me back there. What were you thinking after that game, knowing that this is an uncharacteristic place for your team to be?
Yeah, you know, it was one of those things. Obviously, we were a little disappointed. You know, the first game of the year, you know, I just don't think we showed up from a mental standpoint. We were didn't have the normal juice that a Corrine team usually has. And, you know, we made great stride going into that St. X game. And, you know, our game plan was working. I mean, we were up, you know, held the ball for 33 of the 48 minutes. We were up 14-0. And, you know, sometimes you got to tip your hats off to the other team. I mean, the Chase Wolf kid showed why he's going to Wisconsin and played lights out the last 6 minutes. And, you know, we did a few things. We had a blitz where we didn't keep contain, and we had a busted coverage, and they took advantage of that. So, and, you know, we got a lot of kids playing both ways, and I think they were still learning how to play both ways. And I think we got some things figured out. And like I've always said, you know, we're going to own that 0-2 start. You know, it is what it is. You know, we don't run from it whatsoever. We don't dwell on it, but we understand. And the weird thing about it, it'll make us a better football team in the long run.
Well, it's kind of funny. I know that's been a regular. It's been one of that series has been unbelievable. Four of the last five times you and St. X have played, the game's gone into overtime. And I know Steve Specht of St. Xavier said after the game what he always says: "Hey, I'll see you again." Meaning yep. that you guys likely will meet in the postseason. Just for the record, if you believe JoeIdle.com, right? If the playoffs started now, you'd be playing St. X because St. X, right, number one, and you guys are in this week. I know the OHSA officially releases them at noon, but he projects you guys being in the top eight.
Yeah, think about it. I mean, since I took over in 2007, you know, in the last 11 years, I think it's crazy. I think we've played something like 17 times in the last 11 years. Just
crazy.
Just unbelievable how it's been.
So let me ask you, so you guys are now back on track. You're 3-2 after that game. You play Middletown. You win that one. You have a big game against Sycamore, which was off to a 3-0 start. You win that convincingly. And then last week you go on the road and win another one at Hamilton. This week you host Lakota West, which is off to a slow start. But let's give some props to that Corrine defense. I mean, that first unit is really – despite the fact that you lost so many guys, you've got to feel really good about how that unit's playing this year.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I got to be honest with you. We lost so many coming into the year, I thought that would be kind of a weakness, if you would want to use that word. But I thought that would be an area that we need to really focus on and get better. But it's ended up being a great strength for us. You know, I think a lot of people would sit there and say, well, you know, in terms of the competition, you know, you've played two great defending state champs, and then now, but I would argue with that. I definitely believe we're a better team, and playing those first two made us better. And you know, defensively, we played really good against those first two, and we continue to get better. You know, each week from an offensive standpoint and from a defensive standpoint. But yeah, the way those kids have responded and stepped up and played, and you know, we're just so fast, and we're just so aggressive that I think those are traits that, you know, if you have kids that will do that, that are willing to work hard and have some athleticism and can run and that are physical, I think you can do some damage on the defensive end.
I'm joined by Tom Bolden, head football coach at Corrine High School. The Cardinals, winners of 3 in a row, 62 straight victories in the Greater Miami Conference, hosting Lakota West this week. And I'm going to take you back to that Sycamore game, and they are a good football team. I know Joe Idle predicts them to be number 2 this week in the Region 4 ratings, but boy, you had a convincing win over them last year when they had Ravon Bonner, who's now at Illinois. You did it again this year, and I want to ask you about that post-game speech. Now, we had a little Ric Flair quoted, right? And then we maybe took to task some of the statewide voters in the state poll. I know you use that as motivation, right? Rarely has a Corrine team not even received votes, as was the case going into that week in the D1 state poll.
Yeah, and I just saw it last night. This is the third week in a row we're not receiving votes. So I'm at the point where I maybe think I just need to thank all the AP writers and all that kind of stuff, and hopefully they keep going, because that's some huge motivation for our kids. They are not happy about that, not getting the recognition and respect they think they deserve. But Yeah, to go back to the Ric Flair thing, you know, I grew up in that era where, sure. You know, I watched my good share of wrestling, and how about my man Ric Flair? I mean, you know, he was the epitome of showmanship, and, you know, sometimes you got to have fun with it. You know,
sure.
there's a reason why we do this, and that's to help the kids and be a part of these kids' lives, but, you know, you want to have fun with it, and what better way to have fun with it to show some love for my man Ric Flair, the Nature Boy.
Well, just so you know, Skinny, you know Richard, he's got the Local 12, and he has you guys, and Local 12 meaning he ranks them Greater Cincinnati, Northern Kentucky, Southeast Indiana. He has Coleraine in at number 2 behind St. X. So you can feel good about maybe Skinny's on task. But, Tommy, let me ask you about the rest of the GMC season and if the playoffs started today, and they don't, but you guys would have 4 of the 8 slots in Region 4. Look at what you guys have remaining. I know you've got Lakota West, and they're off to a 1-4 start, but still talented. But you still have to play Mason. You still have to play Fairfield. So to maintain the reign for Coleraine in the GMC, still some work to be done.
Yeah, there's no question. Yeah, those are three big opponents that, you know, the Mason, Lakota West, and Fairfield. I mean, you know, and then sitting there looking at Lakota East, we still got them. That's 4, you know, they're sitting there 4-1. So I think the combined record of our next 4 opponents is, let's see, 8-2. I mean, it's pretty impressive. So, you know, we got our work cut out for us. I mean, you think about all these tremendous athletes in this league, but, you know, we'd like to think we still have the best team. We got great athletes, no question about it, but, you know, others can receive more of the recruiting attention and things like that. But I think collectively, you know, we got something special here with our kids. They work hard. You know, they allow me to coach them hard. We got great families that have bought in, and you know, our kids expect to win, and I think that's huge.
Final question. Talk about the difference it's made on offense. I know you've moved Ivan Pace Jr., correct, to more of a fullback role, and it seems like that's really been a catalyst to getting your offense rolling.
Yeah, he's, you know, we had Milo Caldwell as a starter for 3 years, and Milo was, you know, 215, 217 pounds and really athletic. But, you know, the first game of the year, we took a wing back, put him back there, just didn't really work against LaSalle. And you know, Ivan is such a force on defense. We were a little hesitant, but obviously we realized to make this offense work for what we do that he's got to be the catalyst. And he's really bought into it, and he's figured out how to play both ways. And, you know, he had 160 yards against Sycamore. He had 162 against Hamilton. I mean, he's had 7 TDs in the last 2 games. He's the epitome of a B-back, of a fullback in this triple option. I mean, he's fast. He's physical, you know, he's 223 pounds of muscle, so he wears down opponents, no doubt about it.
Well, I'd say those statistics speak up pretty well. Tommy, I appreciate you joining me, and best of luck not only Friday against Lakota West, but I have a feeling that by the end of the regular season, we'll not only see Coleraine receiving some votes, I think we'll see him in the D1 top 10.
Well, we'll take it. I just hope those riders up north and who all that just don't give us the votes. They're doing me a favor.
All right, Tommy, appreciate it. Best of luck, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, Chief. We'll see you, buddy. Be good.
And in Division 2, which is Region 8, LaSalle, despite the loss, holds on to the number 1 spot, according to Joe Idle. Anderson 2, Winton Woods, Sidney, and Edgewood in at number 5. A couple others. So the local teams that are undefeated and ranked are St. X, Anderson, and Wyoming, ranked in the state.
Correct.
And Wyoming still looks very, very good. There's some other unbeatens, a Goshen, a Bethel Tate.
Yeah, Goshen's
talking
undefeated.
Greater Cincinnati.
Yeah,
they are.
We'll get to Kentucky here in a second. I'll ask you about Wyoming because you played in that league, and the league has traditionally been top-heavy. It's usually 2 or 3, maybe a 4th, and then there's a bottom tier to that. I got a chance to do a TV game when Wyoming played CHCA, which is a step down in theory. CHCA is really good, but they're
Indian Hill
5.
Played CHCA, right?
Correct.
Both of them,
and
yeah.
CHCA beat Indian Hill.
Right.
I was really impressed by Wyoming, just watching their personnel. How hard is it, though, to gauge them based on the fact they've got 2 blowout shutout wins over Taylor and Deer Park?
Yeah.
Hard to gauge them, or just knowing what they've got, can they go deep?
I think it's hard because you don't see the type of competition. You kind of get snake bitten, like we had talked about, scheduling wise. You know, how do you schedule outside of a GCL or a GMC?
Right.
And it's the same thing for these guys. You just in your CHL schedule, there's really, this year is one of the most down I've seen it. There's just, you know, there's a couple good teams, but Wyoming clearly the class. They're going to go into every game and blow them out. So how does a team like that handle adversity when you get into the second or third round of the playoffs?
When the talent level is,
is the biggest question, because you haven't been tested like that. You know,
but part of that, to me, is on, you know, if you are a Wyoming in your early non-conference, you got to schedule up.
Well, I'll give you this, but they scheduled North College Hill, which has been the last few years pretty decent enough.
They schedule North College Hill because they know they can beat them, and they know North College Hill typically will win enough games. I mean, let's be honest here.
Points.
I mean, but I'll go to CHCA, and I wonder.
I think that's a good game.
No, it is. But what I'm saying is, when you look at CHCA over the years, they've had great teams,
and they just
and they always ran into court, which has now changed classifications right down. But my point is, and I think you would agree. I'll ask you, Tony. I mean, when you if you have the opportunity, the problem is coaches don't want to risk a game that they might lose. But to me, it comes down to this. Do you want to make the playoffs, or do you want to prepare your team to win a state championship or make a postseason run?
Yeah, I think you got to start preparing to make that run, because Wyoming's shown historically they can run the table. They can win the CHL year in, year out. It's time to start taking that next step now. And to do that, you have to start scheduling, because you have to have something at the end of the year or when stuff gets close in a game to say, hey, we've been here before. They don't have that, and they don't have that to rely on, because they don't even have them. They don't even play in the second half.
And I would say, as a coach, you kind of have a feel for what teams in your league have coming back, whether it's going to be one of those years, where,
especially a small school.
It's going to be a really good year or a year like this. I mean, where Indian Hill lost Reed Eichholz, they lost other guys around him. I mean, that's a lot
now,
to lose.
Week 9, maybe. Marymount's off to a 4-1 start and blew a couple double-digit leads week 1 to lose to Oakwood. They won 4 in a row. They host Wyoming week 9. So at least if you're Wyoming, you've got a game close to the postseason maybe to help you get
Marymount's
ready.
Got a really good quarterback.
Yeah, you said,
He was out because of a hip problem. He'll be back in. So if he can get it rolling, that's at least an offense. I don't know as much about Marymount's defense, but that's an offense that
will
challenge Wyoming's defense, at least.
Wyoming's defense is really good.
We go south of the Ohio River, Northern Kentucky, and Covenant Catholic. I thought these were 2 weeks, last week and this week, maybe give you a little barometer. Last week they hosted Columbus St. Francis DeSales, beat them 35-7. And now they host Bishop Chittard.
They have a bye, but then they
get Highlands.
Well, I'll ask you this, because I put together the local 12 top 12, and I think we're settling on this, because I asked my constituents that I work with, are you okay with it? I moved them up to number 4 in the area, and it's hard to gauge it sometimes.
Well, it's hard to gauge based on the fact.
I've got it behind the phone. I've got X number 1 clear cut. Colerain, I moved back up to number 2. I actually moved Elder up a spot to 3, just because they played St. Ignatius so tough.
Yeah.
And I got Covcath then above everybody else, and that includes Mason and Sycamore and Fairfield and Winton Woods and LaSalle. I know you can make an argument and go, oh, it's just a Northern Kentucky team, but I think this is a different breed of Northern Kentucky
When you look
team.
At the schedule, too, the Masons and that, they're still a big hurdle in their way.
No doubt.
And I think when you look at Covcath and what they've put together and the wins they've had
and the way they've won. That's the thing to me.
I think that's what really opens your eyes.
And I think the one that opened my eyes a little bit, I know this is not a great Kings team, and their record's a bit deceiving because
they're 1-4,
But their schedule's
tough schedule, correct.
They handled them. They handle them pretty easily.
But here's the only thing, and again, I don't know. Maybe this team is different, but I can tell you a few years back, they played St. Xavier.
Right.
Very difficult.
We're talking, those guys are long.
Understand.
Those guys were seniors, now we're freshmen.
I get it. I don't know. And you won't know, because they don't. But I would tell you, I still think, I'll predict Covcath is good enough in 5A to win every game. I think they run the table and win a state championship.
Yeah, that
now,
give you.
This week in Northern Kentucky, Simon Kenton, which last week had to rally late to beat Highlands at home, but they're 6-0. They travel to Beechwood, Fort Mitchell, which struggled against Covcath. Yeah. Again, they're a Class A school.
I know everybody loves to compare scores, right? If Team A beats Team B by such and such.
Right, you can't do that, really.
Okay. But I guarantee you, you will have a little measuring stick. If Beechwood plays them, let's just say they're more competitive, because they were not competitive against Covcath.
Correct.
And Beechwood's really good. They're the smallest classification level, but they're really, really
defending
good.
State champs, a legitimate chance to do it again.
And they were not competitive whatsoever with Covcath. If they're competitive with Simon Kenton, maybe that tells you then that Covcath is a cut above everybody else.
We'll see. Now, national TV this Friday night in Union. Yeah, Ryle, which had a bye last week, hosting Indianapolis Cathedral, part of the weekly ESPN series. So Cathedral's not having a good year record-wise, but trust me, they've got some talent.
They're usually really good.
But their running back, who's committed to Notre Dame, he's been out hurt. I don't know whether he's back yet or not, but that's
maybe been part of the issue. And we'd be remiss in Northern Kentucky if we didn't mention
Ludlow. How about correct. That? My retirement.
The
my
place future, you want to retire
my future
to.
Future retirement
How about
home.
This? People want to go to Hawaii, yep. go to Hilton Head. This jackass wants to retire in Ludlow.
Just not, they're good people.
Well, you can tell, I mean.
You know, can visit Ludlow.
He's over talking about getting his constituents vote to move right. teams up. I mean, it's, yes, he's right. a class higher than us right now.
There's no doubt. Well, yeah, that's why I'm going to Ludlow when I retire.
What would you do when Ludlow retired?
They have the,
look at the feces
the yacht,
in the Ohio
don't they
River.
Have the yacht club?
They do. I'd be bring cash only. Don't take credit.
Right, I'd be a regular at the yacht club. The laundromat's right down the street. The supermarket's really close by.
Well, that's great. There's retirement.
Got
that's
TVG
big.
On the computer.
You won't be able to move. Oh, for God's sake. You can sit out on a barge and watch a cow float by. As you're cutting into your delicacy.
Walk down the street to watch
the kids
play
ball. By the way, that happened
ball.
To me once.
Maybe I'll the coach record. There. I like Ludlow so much. Oh, maybe God. I'll coach there.
All right. And then it's
but
South.
They are, but they are.
Right.
They have a kid, yeah. Justin Blackburn, who's absurdly
and they
good.
Have a new. I mean, they have a new coach this
correct.
Year.
That is correct. I mean, yeah. it's a good one. I mean, do I think they'll beat? No, they're not going to beat Beachwood.
I was just going to say they have to play Beachwood yet,
but,
just for the record.
Yeah. I think they're competitive. I think they're more all competitive, right. which is good for them.
And Southeastern Indiana, East Central, Lawrenceburg, I mean, I'm not surprised.
No, Lawrenceburg, I mean, they played the first week, 15-14.
Correct.
So, and yeah. they're in two different classes. One, East Central's 4A, Lawrenceburg's 3A. Last week, both of them were actually ranked in the Indiana yeah. State polls, and I assume they will be. It comes out on Tuesday. They do it a little bit differently than Kentucky and Ohio. I'm assuming they'll be ranked again, so that's pretty cool.
And don't forget, they're in, and they'll start a week before. Yeah. So week 10 is when they actually start their playoffs.
I was putting the schedule together because it's my responsibility somehow, right. some way. So I was putting the schedule together for all the games this week to put online. And when you start to look at Indiana, you only got a handful of weeks left. It feels like it just started.
Yeah.
Correct.
You only got a handful of weeks left.
Well, you start
season,
a week early,
and
you only have
nine
regular
games,
season
right.
games. Why can't we all
and
just
let me
do
just
the
tell
same
you
thing,
that.
Yes?
Wait till you – I can't stand the all-inclusive playoffs. I hate it.
Yeah, I
hate
do too.
Everything
right
about it.
I do too.
Wait till you see some of the first-round scores in Indiana.
Well, they're awful. They have to because you get bad against good. What do you expect?
Yeah, I
don't
look,
get it.
But for your life, you can say you made the playoffs.
You can't say that.
That's true. Hey, I played 3 years. We made it every year.
Made it every year.
Combined how score of those three games, 165-3.
How many games? You guys must have won a lot of games. Didn't right. win a single damn right. game, Jimmy, but by God, we made the playoffs every year. Woo-hoo.
All right, so there you have it.
Give
some high school
medal.
Football conversation. We got college football coming up next. And well,
lots to talk about.
There is lots to mm-hmm. talk about, including locally.
At least you didn't give up 600
nationally.
Yards rushing.
No, I did not.
That's a
I did
positive.
Not. All right, well, moving along. You're listening to The Angry Quarterbacks from ESP Media. Welcome in to segment number two of this week's Angry Quarterbacks. We are the two angry guys. I'm Tom Gamble. He's Richard Skinner, Local12.com, and the legitimate quarterback, Tony Pike, who played collegiately. He's wearing the old Bearcat retro today. The hat.
It's a good-looking hat.
And we'll talk locals, and we'll talk national, and we'll talk all sorts of things, including Kentucky should secede from the SEC. Mm. I've said that for years, and it just continues to beat down their poor fans.
And
Eagle down the hall went to the game. Just as
is he a fan?
He's kind of a Florida fan a little bit, oh, okay. but he just went and he said there was some dude the entire game, especially because Kentucky led,
right.
yeah. was on them. And let's just say Fred went home with his tail between his legs.
Not
like
so
every Kentucky fan should know better.
Years.
Disgraceful. But have no fear. When they line up against Georgia, by God, you'll have a defender up with that receiver. We'll get to that
soon.
Momentarily, but because now there's somebody who's been appointed. But first, Navy sinks the Bearcats, and I don't know, you might want to, I don't know that they're going to run the ball in the triple option and stop it.
It is hard to defend. I know they spent more than just this week working on the Navy triple option. They've been working on it actually since, I think, summer camp. Tony, I was surprised because I thought in the first three games defensively, UC did some really good things. Would I have been surprised if Navy ran for 300 yards?
No,
probably
not. I think you give Navy that going into any game.
Correct.
300, 350.
600?
569, though? Yeah.
Well, the only problem I had, they handled up front, really, for most of the game, a good Michigan offensive line.
Right.
And so, to me, this was kind of the first game that I thought, schematically, they struggled a little bit, whether it was the game plan they had installed. And this, Coach Fickell saw them in 2014, I believe, with Ohio State.
Yeah, I believe you're right.
And when you run against an option team, after a while, you just got to say, look, it just start sending more.
Right, correct.
I mean, if they beat you with the pass, if the guy throws for 200 yards.
Total zero coverage and just go.
But it's three things. You have one guy on the dive guy, one guy on the quarterback, and one guy on the pitch. And if one of those guys doesn't do his job, it's going to be lights out. And you see, you know, the individual matchups is what we lost this week. Subsequently, offensively, it kind of seemed like Hayden Moore got back to the confident level.
I guess that was the good part.
But at the same time, when you were scoring like that, the defense wasn't resting, and then it was just snowballing into another effect. But
final question for you about UC would be, so they are 2-2. Yeah. I think most people, when you looked at the first four, you'd have said 2-2. Okay, isn't Saturday one of those games when you circle games on the schedule? I'm going to home games against Marshall. Isn't that one you have to win, you need to win? If you're going to do what you said, which would to be successful, qualify for a bowl game, this is one you have to win.
If you want to make a bowl, then I'm pretty confident saying that this is a must-win this week because South Florida's really good.
Yeah, you're not beating them.
UCF's really good.
You're not beating them.
And there's a couple other that are going to be
50-50s.
50-50 games.
Especially games on the road.
Yeah, this is a game that you should win. Now, Marshall's better than they were last year. They beat Miami with, I think it's
three special teams. A close game, too.
Kent State. And then they played NC State, who's playing really well right now.
Yeah, played them tough.
They played them well on the road. Yeah. So just seeing a little bit of Marshall. They're athletic. They got some guys that can make individual plays. So if it's a situation like Navy and guys got to make one-on-one plays, you got to be better this week.
Now, we talked about Miami and a good opening win in the Mid-American Conference on the road at Central Michigan, especially coming off the way the Red Hawks lost to UC. Gus Ragland accounted for three TDs. I'm impressed with it. And Mac is bad. Let's go on record and saying it's bad. But the reality of it is, if you're Miami, you don't have to apologize for those other teams. Just beat them.
You came into the year. Your goal wasn't to go 12-0.
Sure.
Because you're getting Notre Dame this week, for goodness sakes. Your goal was win the Mac. I mean, that's a legitimate goal. And despite the loss to UC, despite that awful loss to Marshall, their defense has actually played really, really well. Honestly, their defense played winning football against Marshall, winning football against UC, winning football last week. I think they are the team to beat maybe in the MAC.
Yeah, and I think the biggest thing is mentally coming back from what
big
they
time.
Went through against the UC game. And you heard it in Chuck Martin's press conferences of he's been asked 8,000 times, this and that. I think it was big. I think it was good for Ragland to have a good game to bounce back. And then just that team to get back and not let a loss like last week, which that's just not a regular loss.
No.
You've lost to the team 11 years in a row, now 12.
And had them beat.
You had them beat.
You
handed the game over. Yeah. How do you get back? And I think that says a lot about a coaching staff and a team.
I do, too. We talked about this on the Angry Guys podcast. That impressed me as much as anything else.
Absolutely.
I know the selling point is, hey, this is the fresh start. It's the MAC opener.
But that doesn't mean they buy into that all the time.
You still have to buy in. And maybe what they went through last year allowed them to put that loss behind them, to put 0-6 behind them like they did last year. Good for them. That's a great win.
Well, and this week you mentioned South Bend, 5:00 kickoff. Chuck Martin goes back to Notre Dame. Notre Dame's playing much better. Pretty much
throttled
Michigan State last week on the road.
I think they're pretty good. I might have slept
on most people
them a
think
bit.
They do, right? I mean, it's so if you're Miami, this is one where being realistic, you're probably not going to win. But can you give a good effort?
I think they will, because I think defensively they've played winning football to this point.
Yep.
Ohio State with another one of its usual non-conference opponents against
Vegas.
UNLV.
They did play Oklahoma, but goodness gracious, the last
beyond that,
two.
It's pitiful.
I mean,
come on.
Good that they're giving Army a nice check to come in. That's a nice thing to do, but Army in Vegas, come on. Your fans deserve better than that.
We'll just move along from there.
Yep.
And Kentucky. Florida eking out the win over the Wildcats, a game that seemingly you look for three decades, and you're like, finally. And then Kentucky does what Kentucky – I feel bad for you because I know you're a Kentucky football fan.
Well, I was in a bar in Green Bay.
But
come on. I was actually sitting with a Bengals coach, and he allowed me to make an ass of myself at the end of that game.
Oh, I would have loved to have seen that.
Well, here's the best part. Me and a buddy, we went into one bar, and I said, do you have SEC Network? No, we don't.
So, we're in Wisconsin. They don't need that.
Well, no, we get out of one bar, walk to another, walk in. First thing, we asked somebody as we walked out, do you know a bar that might have SEC Network? And they said, yeah, the bar down here does. So there were somehow two Kentucky fans behind us. Where are you guys going? We're going up here to watch the game. Make a long story short, when they lost the way they lost, and I yelled a few obscenities in this bar, I had very nice people in Wisconsin that commiserated with me. They were very, very
They felt
kind.
Bad for
they
you.
They felt bad for me.
And you should know better, but...
The holding penalty is the one that really got
But
up.
here's the bottom line.
Because it wasn't a hold.
Tony, I know you listen to, I always get, is it Mark Stoops?
Mark Stoops.
Mark. Just so damn many Stoops, I get confused.
This is crazy.
But he's got it figured out, right? Yeah. It's not going to happen against Mississippi State or Georgia.
No.
Have no fear because.
What's he going to do, Tony?
Mark Stoops, going forward, Kentucky will have two people specifically tasked with making sure there are no uncovered receivers before the play at the line of scrimmage.
Can I ask you a question? I didn't play football at a high level like you did, and so I don't want to come off as just some schmo off the streets with this.
Which you are.
Don't you have assistant coaches?
Well, you have assistant
coaches. Position coaches and a coordinator.
But you also have players. That play the position of cornerback, and that's usually what they're tasked with.
Gotcha.
I want to envision the team meeting where these two are introduced. Guys, tough loss, but don't worry. This will never happen again.
Mark and Jeff.
Because we got these two. And if anyone is uncovered, they're going to let me know right away. Because the coaches up in the booth, I guess, can't just signal down right away and say, hey, call a timeout. We don't have anyone covered.
So we'll end.
Now, he did say he was looking at the unbalanced offensive line alignment.
Oh, yeah.
Did not look outside, and hence he didn't see uncovered receivers.
It wasn't like 1 second. Like, the guy was waving.
What if you were like the free safety, though? Can you not start looking around and go, whoa, timeout, sir, please? Because we don't have enough guys.
All right, so we'll end the college football segment with you get a chance. Give me a team that impressed you on the college football field last weekend and a team that disappointed you.
Penn State impressed me because they should have lost.
Yep.
They should have lost. For them to get that win and with their talent level and with Saquon Barkley, that's a big win. Yeah, that impressed me.
All right, who disappointed you?
Oklahoma State.
Okay. Disappointment, Oklahoma State for sure. Penn State was up there just because of the 1-2 punch they had. But I got to go, Winston-Salem and the Demon Deacons.
How about 4-0? Good call. That's a good call.
Yeah, 4-0. Winning at Appalachian State,
How about the fact, this may have never happened in our lifetime, the fact that Duke and Wake Forest are both 4-0.
Yeah. Yep. Now, Wake kind of got the short end of the stick because Florida State lost to NC State, and now they get to come in.
Right. I'll tell you what, I'm not so sure Florida State's all that great.
No, and Wake Forest, to their credit, their offense is a lot better, and they're consistently good on defense.
To me, impressed, Alabama. And I know that's not going out on a limb, but the way they did that.
Because this is not I'll tell you, Vandy's a bowl. They will go to a bowl again. Yeah. They are a bowl caliber
linebacker
team.
Doesn't need to run his mouth.
No, he does not. That's not the smartest thing in the world.
Michigan State. Coming off the year that they had last year kind of makes you wonder. Just makes you wonder. I'm just saying. They don't appear to be so good.
How about a year in which if things fall apart in South Bend and things fall apart in East Lansing.
Well, and they're going to fall apart in Tennessee.
Fall apart
Tennessee. That's a give. Georgia's at Tennessee this
all
week.
All three of them could be on the street.
How about Butch Jones's ran against the media?
Right.
Did you see that?
I did. He's done that before.
He's a clown. Honestly, beat UMass and shut up.
I mean, UMass had a legitimate chance.
They did.
Legitimate chance.
All right, so there you have it. Segment two in the books, college football. One left, the NFL. Bengals, NFL. There you go.
Things brick by brick.
We are running on our own gas.
We'll be next. Segment number three when we continue. You're listening to the Angry Quarterbacks. Hey, by the way, Minnesota's got a big game this week. They're undefeated.
That guy.
I'm just
that guy.
What?
He's something.
I'm just telling you.
That guy.
He is something.
PJ Fleck experience.
From your friends right here at ESP Media. Welcome to the ESP Media Studios here in Kenwood, north of downtown Cincinnati, for the Angry Quarterback segment number 3. We are the two angry guys, Tom Gamble and Richard Skinner. Legitimate quarterback Tony Pike played at Reading, UC, and in the NFL. And speaking of the NFL, that's what we're going to talk about. Football.
Yes.
And talk about the football side of the NFL.
This is becoming my favorite segment each week because we can truly be angry.
It's a good point.
With what we watch on Sundays.
I'll just read the last line here. Just AFC North blows. That's written by the producer, and I can't dispute him.
Well, you got two offers going. There's only five offers left in the NFL this year, and the two of them hook up
on
Sunday.
How would you have liked to be a fan of Baltimore that decided, hey,
take
I'm
a trip.
Travel.
Yeah.
I'm going to go watch this team in London.
They're bad. Well,
Steve Bisciotti ought to give them their money back. Say sorry for the trip, man.
But let's talk Bengals-Packers. Tony, we'll get your opinion. Obviously, they came out. You watch the first half. They're up 21-7. You're thinking, man, hey, you know, this looks like the team maybe everybody thought you might see this season. And then if you continue to watch the game in the second half, they continue to then not do things, not make plays, and ultimately a Packer win in overtime.
Well, I think the good first, we scored a touchdown.
It's huge.
I think, couple of them.
Yeah, I think Bill Lazor came in and defined roles.
That part I'll give you. I think he did too.
Between A.J. Green and Mixon, they had 34 carries or attempts to get him the ball.
They had 26 pass attempts. Yep. A.J. Green was targeted on 13. Yep. They ran the ball. I'm doing this
much better. Right.
They ran the ball with running backs 26 times, and Mixon had 16.
Which I love. Hey, Mixon's our guy.
And A.J.'s our guy.
And A.J.'s our guy. Love it. Now, what we saw again, like we saw last year, what goes on in the Bengals' half times? Is there no adjustment? Because it seems year in and year out, teams come out in the second half, and as bad as it is, as soon as Green Bay scored and made it 21-14,
you almost knew.
You immediately went back because at the end of the day, the offense scored, but they scored 17, right?
Correct.
I mean, the pick six.
Correct.
So, to me, the defense thus far
– should have scored 20 because Bullock had a makeable field goal. But
the defense thus far has played 3 weeks where they have played winning defense.
Absolutely.
You're 0-3. Now you start to get that divide a little bit in the locker room of guys being angry with each other. And then, to me, the biggest disappointment, the offensive line's bad. But Andy Dalton, to me, his stat line wasn't bad, but he missed the deep ball to LaFell.
Yeah.
The one on the sidelines, he threw 8 yards out of bounds on a scramble when it's one-on-one with A.J. Green.
Well, he also made a bad scramble where he should have stepped forward. Instead, he stepped sideways, and they got him.
Yep, and his biggest the biggest blunder to me, the third down where he missed LaFell right in front of him.
Yep.
And then on third down, when you're 41 yards away in field goal range and you take a 7-yard sack.
Can't do it.
You as a quarterback at any level, you can't do that.
Like, now, the only thing I'm going to back him up on a little bit, and he missed the throw to LaFell.
Yep.
I'm not sure I'm having Brandon LaFell run up. He's not my guy running a post.
Right.
Here's the other problem. And I don't want to disagree with what you said because I thought Andy played winning football, but he did miss some plays. I just go back to you thought you had all these playmakers. You got 1.5 because Mixon isn't quite there yet. You got A.J. Green, and that's it.
Yeah, that doesn't look like Eifert.
Tyler Boyd has gone backwards. Yep. I mean, they are so disappointed in him, he doesn't get on the field hardly at all.
Yep.
You were hoping John Ross would be the playmaker. You were hoping Eifert would be. You're down to – you have no play. When you're throwing – honestly, and I didn't look at the whole route you may have. I think the one to LaFell was a one-man route. It was a play-action pass.
Yeah.
He ran a post, had man coverage. You got to hit that play. I'm not making an excuse for Andy Dalton. You got to hit that play. But I ain't having Brandon LaFell run that route if I can help it.
No, the one thing I do want to see, I still don't think Jeremy Hill constitutes 7 carries and Geo only 3.
Because Geo has actually made some plays.
Yeah, I think Geo and Mixon at the same time in there with Andy would be a nice little wrinkle for him. But at the end of the day, as bad as the offensive line is, Dalton's making plays to make him look worse.
Yes.
He's leaving the pocket too early.
Yeah.
He's staying in the pocket too late. And it's funny because you saw Dalton's stat line, 21-27, two touchdowns.
Looks good.
No turnovers.
124 passer rating.
Rodgers like 28-42,
right.
Interception for a touchdown. But at the end of the day, you're talking about Rodgers because when plays need to be made, he knows when to get out of the pocket. And I'll give it. The Bengals defense, Carl Lawson's an animal.
Oh,
he's a stud. But the offensive line for the Packers,
atrocious.
And their running game is awful.
Awful. Yep.
But that is a quarterback that's an elite guy.
He made plays.
Makes plays when he pushes up, gets out of the pocket, extends plays, does it with his mind.
Look at Tom Brady on Sunday. Yep. Again, down to Houston.
But he's a different guy because he'll stand in the pocket. Right. But all these bodies are around him. He doesn't panic. Yep. His eyes are still looking somewhere down the field.
Well, that last drive, he wasn't harried at all. No. Yep. I mean, despite the fact that the clock's thing, but Brady and Rodgers are up here. Yep. I mean, they're the elite NFL playmakers. And the challenge that I have, and I think you're alluding to this, Tony, is at some point, if Andy Dalton's going to be the guy, he's got to win a game like that.
I think the biggest thing about Dalton right now, and you mentioned his eyes, these other guys, his eyes are not downfield right now.
Not an ounce.
Or else he wouldn't have missed LaFell right down the middle. His eyes are on the defense and what they're doing. And now you've gotten into a situation now where it was out of contact. It kind of just ambushed you last week, the A.J. McCarron comments.
Yes, correct.
I love it. You know, guy backing up his quarterback. Yeah. But on a team, you want that to be one of your linemen. You want that to be a leader on the team that says, hey, stop with our quarterback. To me, it's almost like...
Now, I would tell you, the day that AJ made those comments, there weren't a lot of guys in the locker room. I was there, and I was one of the guys that got the comments from AJ McCarron. Yep. There were not a lot of guys to go to that day.
To me, I just feel like when you're a bad offensive line and you get beat down in the media all the time, when Dalton's making some of the plays he's making them look worse.
Yeah.
And I think after time goes, the defense is going to start being fed up with it. The offensive line is going to start being like, look, we know we're not great, but help us out a little bit.
Perfect tonic coming up.
Well, I was going to say.
Sunday in Cleveland.
Final question here. I mean, when you look at the Bengals and you look at this week, I mean, there's never been a more must.
No doubt.
I mean, because you're playing an 0-3 bad football team.
You don't win this game and you play the way you've played.
Stay up there.
Everything Tony just said comes to fruition. You have now everybody fussing.
Yep.
You have a head coach who's in the last year of his contract that honestly
should be gone.
Might be gone at the bye week if things keep going that direction. I doubt it, but might be.
Even if they win against Cleveland, but it's ugly, and then they lose to Buffalo,
then
and you go one and four,
have the same situation.
They're still, because if they come out this week and win 10-6,
correct,
or 9-3, or something like that, then you have to still.
And now the flip side is you could have won the Houston game, could have won this game. You win the next two, go to the bye. With Pittsburgh looking like it's got some offensive issues and Ben suddenly looking really old,
but
you got a ray of hope.
Your first two losses were magnified.
No doubt.
Because we saw Houston's not the defense we thought because they're giving up points like crazy. Yep. We saw Baltimore, what they really are.
They're terrible.
Those two are going to be magnified. You know, I think when the schedule came out, Green Bay, you know what? That's a loss.
That's an L.
That's it.
Correct.
I'm good with that.
The most infuriating thing for me watching the Bengals Sunday was watching that first half going, how the hell did they lose these previous two weeks at home?
Correct.
I mean, if you're able to play like that, you would have played that way those two games. You'd be 2-0, and then you're 2-1 going to Cleveland.
But it's just brutal. Rays of what they can be. And then
excuses.
When you look at the schedule preseason, I felt good. Some of these games they got coming up, these teams are playing. Tennessee's playing really good.
Tennessee, I chalked up as a loss. Jacksonville, I did not. And now the way they're playing defense would scare the living daylights.
I mean, who else do they have non-conference left? I mean, that
Indy,
yeah, but Buffalo. Buffalo's got the number one scoring defense.
They play Denver, Chicago.
Chicago,
Detroit, Minnesota.
Detroit, Minnesota, what they're doing. Right. Those are two going into the season. I'd say, they'll beat Detroit and Minnesota. But the way Minnesota's digs on offense and what their defense is and now Detroit. Back. I thought the schedule now looks a lot darker than when it first came out.
You're both invited. 12:45 Sunday. I know you can't because you have to go.
I'll be
12:45. I'm going to pick up leaves around my yard by hand. I'm just going to go out there with a garbage bag, hand one at a time. Wearing this damn T-shirt and maybe no pants.
Oh boy, defecating.
So, you never know. Things get troublesome out there. Might have to, right in the yard. Charmin, absolutely. If Charmin will give, if they'll give me a free year supply, I won't. If they won't do that, I will.
You can use at least for that purpose.
So there you have it. Bengals Browns. My God, who? What announcers get sentenced to that tilt? Lord, Don Cricky.
Hopefully, we'll be in the bathroom puking about that time from too much from the night before.
I tell you, I might drink the day of to watch that crap.
You know what? If I could get away with it, I might think about it.
All right, there you have it. We've got another big week of football ahead, and we'll be back next week to talk about it. You've been listening to the Angry Quarterbacks. For Tony Pike, Richard Skinner, I'm Tom Gamble, and you've been listening to ESP Media.